On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Joseph Shepard is an artist who splits his time between Baltimore and a home in Italy. If you've been to Camden Yards, you've seen Mr. Shepard's work as a sculptor. His large bronze sculpture of Orioles great Brooks Robinson sits just outside the ballpark. His work as a painter is featured over the next several months in an exhibition devoted to large-scale realist works that depict scenes from history and current times. They are displayed in a gallery at the University of Maryland University College in Adelphi that is devoted to Shepard's work. The exhibition is called Joseph Shepard on a Grand Scale, and Joseph Shepard joins me in the studio. Joe, it's great to see you.
It's good to see you, Tom.
So these are pictures that are indeed on a grand scale. These are all very large
Everything
paintings.
Is over a meter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's 39 inches, so yes.
Yeah, they're big. They're big. So are you always thinking big? I mean, as a sculptor, obviously, sculptures are pretty big, too.
Yeah, well, yes, Brooks Robinson's is quite large. But in 2000, in Italy, I decided, I was thinking back of the thousands of paintings that I've painted, and I picked 20 that I thought were my best paintings, ones that I liked, not ones that sold or anything, but the ones I liked, and I decided to do them large. Part of the show has some of these paintings, and they're not copies of old ones, but they're the same idea and things I thought I could improve on. And when you face a large canvas, it's much different than when you're facing a small canvas. It's,
yeah. So these are scenes that you had depicted in earlier work on a smaller scale, and you decide to redo and reimagine.
Yes. Well, my paintings are... they're narrative, and I think of them, they're almost like a diary. So when I'm in India, I paint things from India. If I'm in Italy, it's Italy, or if I'm in Baltimore, they're Baltimore scenes. So this is a variation of all these themes, but the main thing that holds it together is the size.
Mm-hmm. So what is different about painting large as opposed to painting small or medium?
In some ways, it's easier. But you think of, at least I think, when I'm painting large, the composition has to be large. If I'm doing a small painting, I could do just a head. I couldn't do just a head on a large canvas. And I do figures, and I think I'm known for doing paintings that are filled with figures. I've been so inspired by the Baroque painters, especially Rubens and... Howells and Rembrandt. I think even though I paint contemporary, my technique is that Baroque. My paintings are full.
They're very full. And it's interesting because you're known many circles for the portraits, the great portraits that you've painted, and you've painted some portraits of some pretty famous people.
Well, I got into portraiture in the 80s when the market just fell apart and I just needed to make an income. And I've been very fortunate now. I've done two popes. I've done the president and mayor and Governor Schaefer and Barbara Mikulski.
But so many of the paintings in this show, I mean, there's a great scene called Da Quinto, which is a dinner scene, and there are these people singing. There's a guitarist and an accordion player and these voluptuous women and
these are all real
men.
People that I know or knew.
Uh-huh.
And
because
I mean,
it's interesting because it's in a way, it's like a portrait of, 12 people in that one painting as opposed to a portrait of one pope or one president.
Well, I lived in Florence for 10 years, and I spent every night at Da Quinto, and he was a very close friend of mine. And at night, they'd sing, and we'd stay there until they closed. It was a wonderful experience.
Is the approach to light and detail in a large-scale painting very different? Do you have to put yourself in a different mindset?
No, I think it's interesting. When I decided to have this show, I was going to call it Big is Better. Then I thought, that's not really true. Because
sounds
you
like
think
a Texas
of,
artist.
No,
yeah.
You think of the Vermeer paintings that are all tiny. So then I said, big and better. And then the curator at the University of Maryland came up with this title, which is a lot better than big is better.
On a grand scale.
Yes.
Joe Shepard is my guest. He's an artist whose exhibition of large-scale paintings on a grand scale is currently at the University of Maryland University College in Adelphi. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. How does your approach to painting differ, if it differs, from your approach to sculpture?
Well, it's interesting. When I have an idea, it's already in a medium. I think of if I get an idea and say, that would be great, it's already in bronze, or it's a painting. And each of them are really different. You can't do certain things in sculpture that you can do in painting, and vice versa. Of painting, I mean, you can paint the universe. Mm-hmm. You can paint stars, skies, empty space. So in sculpture, you're pretty much have one figure or two, and so it's so much different.
I talk to a lot of writers who do poetry, plays, novels, nonfiction, and many of them tell me that they need to be in a certain space. Their head needs to be in a certain place for them to concentrate on a particular form, which is to say that they're not going to be writing poetry and nonfiction in the same day. They're going to have a 2 or 3 week period, or maybe a month long period where they just do poetry and then they switch to nonfiction. Do you have to put your head in a different place to do sculpture as opposed to painting?
No, I do most of my, say 90% of my work in Italy, and I have separate studios. I have a very large studio that I do big paintings and murals. I have a small studio where I do small paintings. That's where my library is. And then I have a sculpture studio, and then I have a smaller sculpture studio. So they don't interfere.
Yeah.
And sculpture itself is messy, so you don't want that where your paintings are.
Right. But I mean, it's interesting because these writers talk about the mental space they have to be in, and you literally are in a different space for each of those forms.
Yes.
That's interesting. How do you choose the scenes that you're going to paint? The scenes that you've chosen for this show, I mean, there's a landscape with some flowers in it. There's this beautiful night scene, African-Americans hanging out on a stoop. It looks like it could be in Baltimore.
Absolutely,
And they're playing in a fire hydrant and stuff, and it's just, it's, you know, they're these great people. There's a football scene where it's called Into the Line, where a runner is, you know, going into this, gigantic
scrum. They're all my own experiences, and most people think of me as a figure painter, but I sell more still lifes and landscapes than I do figure paintings. First of all, I think figure paintings in today's society are hard to hang in your house. My wife, Rita, you know, she says, you know, if you paint something to sell, you'd be selling like crazy, but you always paint things nobody wants to hang.
So why do you think that is? I mean, this picture of the folks eating the great meal at Da Quinto, or the football painting, they look terrific.
Yeah, but would you hang those in your house?
Sure.
Well, you're an exception. Actually, people that collect paintings can hang anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the person that's decorating that wants something that's noncommittal.
Yeah.
My paintings are strong, and they take up a room.
But it's the fact that there are people in them. I mean, in other words, if they're a little more banal. They're very demanding. Tell us about your life in Italy. You do spend, your wife is Rita St. Clair, the great designer, syndicated columnist, and has, you know, been a fixture on the design scene here in Maryland for many years. You split your time between Italy and here. Why Italy, and why, what particular town, and why that particular town?
Well, I tell you, in 1957, I had a Guggenheim. It was my first trip to Europe. And I followed the Rubens paintings, starting with Holland, and then went to France, Spain, Italy, Germany. And I fell in love with both France and Italy. And I decided if I ever had the freedom to live wherever I wanted, it would be one of those two countries. Well, when I did have the freedom, France was too expensive, and I went to Florence. And I stayed in Florence for 10 years. And going to where I am now is another thing. When I started sculpture, this little town I live in now is the center of the world for sculpture. Michelangelo was there for 9 years. Henry Moore started the whole new movement in sculpture there. All his sculpture was done there.
What's the name of the town?
Pietrasanta, Holy Stone.
Mm-hmm. Holy Stone.
And you can see the marble caves where Michelangelo got. In fact, the mountains look like they have snow, but it's white marble.
Mm.
And then it's right next to the beach, so it's quite exceptional.
And so in this case, you then have proximity to the materials that you're using in your
work.
That's
right, yes.
Yeah,
this tiny town that was a Roman town, and the basic town is maybe 4 by 5 blocks. It has 7 bronze foundries and about 200 marble studios.
200 marble studios.
And the artists are from everywhere in the world. They're from China, Japan, Russia. So it's very cosmopolitan in this tiny, tiny little town.
And you and Rita have developed great friendships with these other artists?
I think because I've been there. I've been in Italy 40 years now. I have more friends there than I do here.
Interesting.
And then Rita's getting accustomed to it now. And of course, she was born not too far away from there. She was born in Geneva.
Yeah, yeah. You are a realist painter. Your paintings are to some degree almost photographic. I mean, they're so lifelike. They're so stunning.
Well, the name realist only developed when the non-objective painters came along.
And by non-objective, you mean what? Exactly.
Well, abstract.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what is your feeling about the non-objective and the abstract?
Well, it's gotten, it has developed into, to me, almost nothing. I mean, it's just a loud shriek or something to get attention. I'm not very favorable.
And I have found as I talk to visual artists that there really are camps about this sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Depending on the way you paint or sculpt, it's like a religion. And then you have very little in common with another religion.
Is the market now for realist painters different than it was 20 years ago? You mentioned the 80s, which was a kind of a nadir.
It's changed, but there was a very interesting thing about 2 weeks ago in the New York Times. They had 70 galleries, new galleries that you should see to see what's going on. Not one showed representational work.
It's all modern work.
Well, it's not even work. It's not on canvas anymore. It's not done with paint. You know, one of them has a toy car glued into a wall or a pile of dirt over here.
So what does that tell you about, is that a matter of taste or the art economy or a combination of both?
The whole thing is, the whole market is formed by New York and a few other big cities. And it's for buying and selling and not for hanging on your wall. It's investments. And it's like rock singers. You know, they're up 1 week and they're gone the next week. A little longer period of time, but that's really what it's about. And I'm sure there are a lot of very good representational painters, but they don't get any PR.
Interesting. Well, you've certainly been around for quite a long time, and we appreciate your hanging around with us this morning. Thanks so much, Joe, and best of luck with the show.
Well, Tom, it's been a pleasure, real pleasure.
Always good to see you. The show is called Joseph Shepherd on a Grand Scale. It's at the Leroy Merritt Center for the Art of Joseph Shepherd at the University of Maryland University College in Adelphi. It's there until the spring of 2015. We've got a link to some of the images from the exhibition on our website. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning for more information. Tomorrow morning, a conversation with the local historian who's written a book that he contends busts a few assumptions about what we might think of the mafia. I hope you can join us then. I'm Tom Hall for Sheila, Nathan, and our producers, Stephanie Hughes, Matt Purdy, and Jamila Kay. We thank Cassandra Morales and Justina Latimer for their production assistance. Thanks to Zeke's Coffee for our morning Java Jolt. Thanks to Clean Cuts for our theme music. And thanks to you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow morning on Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. Have a great day.